That's fantastic.
I know.
You saw the transition.
I did.
You witnessed from manhandling
from machines into packaging.
So that transition, say the person who, you know, all the women that would,
yes,
you know, standing beside the conveyor belt,
yeah,
and just the speed that they used to work with.
But we'd have a team of girls. There could be, on each side of the belt, there might be 10 or 12 girls, depending on the product coming off. That particularly with the mallow area, because they had to be picked off on hands into tray. And, you know, the mallow would stick to their hands and things like that. And we were... But our backup services were excellent in the factory. Girls didn't suffer from skin problems because of the mallow. You know the way you would get allergic to something like that? We never had that problem at all. And if there was any sign of it, they'd be into the surgery straight away. And we never had anybody that I can recall having to move, say, from that area because of... There could have been, but I'm not aware of it.
But the knowledge, the skill in,
they worked hard. They did work hard. They had to, because the business were flowing down.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think of an oven with an oven band this wide and maybe 18 rows of biscuits coming down in a continuous belt, you know, stacked, penny stacked like this, and there'd be thousands of them coming down. And girls picking off half the belt this side and the other girls picking off half the belt.
What did you notice? Because over a number, just a couple of years, I think it would have been Jonathan Bewley who introduced a lot of the new machinery And so when that started to happen, it meant you no longer had the need for these ladies to stand by the conveyor belts.
We did. I think one of the first lines we ever produced straight from baking to wrapping machine, I think, was probably Milk Chocolate Gold Grain. Whereas Gold Grain was baked, then it travelled on overhead conveyors to the coating, the chocolate coating, half coated, and then through a cooling tunnel, and from that along conveyors into the packing wrapping machine.
Yeah.
That was the first, as far as I can remember, that's the first one we ever did.
And so that was for the...
And that was down to Jonathan.
That was for the Kimberley Gold...
No, Milk Chocolate Gold Grain.
Milk Chocolate Gold Grain. See. And that was the very first biscuit.
That was the first one that was integrated right from the oven right through to wrapping.
I see.
Yeah. Now, would you mind just checking that if you can? Because I'm almost certain I'm right in saying that. I don't want to give you misleading information.
No, that's very good.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. But that's my record of that.
Yeah. So now you were in that position. You were doing a great job. Why did you move then from that department?
From production planning.
Yeah.
What happened was the guy who ran the production planning office, a fellow called Victor Gray, who died very fond of me. Died before he retired, actually. But before that, his assistant left the company, and there was a bit of a gap there, and they moved me across from that into the planning office. That's how I became there.
Roughly, what year was that now?
Oh, no, don't. I, really.
Was it in the late 60s? 70s?
This is where I'm bad, and I know it.
But let's
come back to that.
Okay. You were still in Bishopstown at that stage.
Absolutely.
So it was...
And in fact, it was more than Bishop being in Bishop. We also had Dean's Grange, the Boland's factory under our hands at that stage as well. And ultimately, before the final move to Tallaght, we were running three sites, Bishop Street, Dean's Grange, and started kicking off Tallaght.
The number of staff working in there, the number of employees, I think there were about 3,500
maximum.
Was it a very homely kind of place to work?
I felt this might come out. I was going to bring it out. Bishop Street was like a big family. It really was. It was incredible. When I look back on the years in Bishop Street, it was like... we were all part of a family. I've never known anything like that before. Mind, I've never worked very much elsewhere. But to me, that was unique. Bishop Street, to me, was unique.
Yeah.
And it didn't replicate itself in Tallaght.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't really know. I can't put my finger on that. There must be, there's obviously maybe some simple answer, but
was it a change of personnel?
Well, there was there was always ongoing changes with personnel, but it wasn't as quick in the 1950s and 60s as it became afterwards. A lot of new faces came in higher up the ladder, and they were brought in because the old expertise had died out, and just not the skill level, but there was better recording of what had to be done to produce the biscuit, if you like, in an overall sense. That was there in writing, so you followed that. Mind you, it probably was done initially anyway, but the skills in the bakehouse, when I went in, if it were unbelievable, particularly in the cream cracker area. The guys who operated the cream cracker plant, they were like little gods. Now, they weren't acting like little gods, but their knowledge was, their touch and knowledge of biscuit production was unique. It really was exceptional.
Was this the Boland's cream cracker?
No, or was it the Jacobs? Yeah. I'm going back to the Jacobs near days. Boland's had established their own cream cracker, all right. And we used to lay, we continued, we owned the factory, we continued both lines, although we were producing both products. Yeah. But and I remember, this is a bit of an aside, I remember my father-in-law, my big farmer, and he used to say to me, "Was there much difference between the fig roll and the Boland's one and the Jake's one?" And he'd say to me, "I think they're very," he'd say before I'd answer, he'd say, "Oh, they're love, the Boland's ones, I prefer them." They're actually the same biscuit, just different wrapper.
But so Jacobs had its biscuits for the most of 150 years. Yes, you know, they were continuing the same brands.
Yeah,
the same,
absolutely. I think some of them might. The cracker, I think, was brought in from America, as far as I remember. I think that's true. Check on some of these facts if you have a chance.
Could you tell me who taught up the? Any idea who said, you know, at the gold grains or the fig rolls, who came up with the
recipe?
The recipe for the biscuits.
This is where the skill level was. We had a lot of people who had qualifications, probably City of London Guilds in baking and things like that, and they were always experimenting and developing a product. That was then, going back. Gold grains long before I came into the company. So somebody would have started that off way I'm describing.
But was there any information kind of trickles down from above or in within the Jacobs as to who the initial bakers were who came up with the recipe for each of those biscuits? For example, were they taken? Were there other factories producing similar biscuits?
There probably was. I'm a bit vague about this. See, this is all, what you're referring to is long even before my time. You know, you're going back to the 1800s probably. And
I thought you would have heard from somebody.
Well, if I did, it's gone out of my mind. You know, and I'm not being evasive. I can't answer your question there, to be honest with you.